Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Creditaccess Grameen Limited Q3 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Arush Arethna from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks, Dennis. Firstly, I'd like to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. From the management side, we have Mr. Udaya Kumar Hebbar, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Balakrishna Kamath, CFO, and Mr. Nilesh Dalvi, Vice President of Investor Relations. Let me now hand over the call to the management for the opening comments, and post that we can proceed to open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, friends. Our sincere thanks to everyone for taking your time in this morning and joining us today to discuss our third quarter and first nine months financial performance. At the outset, we are happy to inform that we have been again certified as Great Place to Work successfully for the third time. This reinforces our strong work culture, employee centricity, and commitment to reach greater heights in the future. Coming to our business, we witnessed significant improvement in our financial performance during the third quarter, backed by sustained business momentum and consistent improvement in asset quality. Strong portfolio growth, lower delinquencies, and improved bad debt recoveries led to a sharp improvement in operating profitability. We have reclaimed our quarterly PAT of more than 100 crore after 2 years. Our monthly disbursement run rate at CA Grameen further improved from over 1,100 crore in September to over 1,400 crore in December. All new disbursements across all states since June 2021 are displaying very good quality, with current PAR 1-30 of only around 1% with limited flow forward. MMFL is also back into growth trajectory, and all new loans are disbursed under CA Grameen model since October, amounting to over 45% of the book and showing very high asset quality comparable with CA Grameen. As indicated earlier, monthly disbursement run rate at MMFL also doubled from rupees 180 crore in September to 360 crore in December. We are back into growth trajectory in terms of disbursement and growth in MMFL now. At a consolidated level, we disbursed 4,720 crore in Q3 FY22 and acquired over 2 lakh new borrowers. Over past 12 months, we have acquired over 5.4 lakh new borrowers, out of which 48% were from outside the top three states, as we continue to go deep rural and expand our presence in newer states. We continue to witness MoM reduction in delinquencies during third quarter. At CA Grameen, collection efficiency excluding arrears rose from 93.3% in September to 95% December and further to 95.6% in January. Excluding non-paying NPA customers, collection efficiency touched 98% in December and 99% in January. The collection efficiency in MMFL, which constitutes 16% of our consolidated GLP, gradually improved from 87% in September to 89% December and 90% in January. Excluding non-paying NPA groups, collection efficiency touched 91% December and 92% in January. At CA Grameen, the asset quality maintained the improvement momentum as PAR quality reduced from 8.5% in September to 5.4% in January, and PAR 60 reduced from 5.4% in September to 4.2% in January. Similarly, at MMFL, PAR 30 reduced from 13.4% in September to 10.7% in January, and PAR 60 reduced from 10.3%-8.5% in January. On a standalone basis, our gross loan portfolio grew by 19.4% YoY and 8.9% QoQ to rupees 12,180 crore in Q3 FY22. However, the borrower base declined by 1.9% YOY to 28.14 lakhs, primarily due to write-off of over 2 lakh borrowers during last 12 months, as well as lesser new acquisition in the first 6 months of this financial year. However, on QOQ basis, borrower base increased by 60,000 in Q3 FY22, as we added over 1.8 lakh new borrowers, partially offset by write-off of over 47,000 borrowers in Q3 FY22. NII grew by 40.4% YOY to INR 349.4 crore, while NIM stood at 11.7%. Adjusting for the impact of interest income derecognition and impact of maintaining higher liquidity on balance sheet, NIM would have been at 12.4%. The cost-to-income ratio was at healthy 36.1%, while OPEX to GLP seen reduction at 4.7%. PPOP grew by 67.1% YOY to INR rupees 244.6 crores. Credit cost was rupees 73.8 crore, which also included the impact of write-off of rupees 134.9 crore. The credit cost was partially offset by rupees 26.8 crore bad debt recovery during the third quarter. PAT for the third quarter was INR 129.2 crore, leading to ROE of 3.8% and ROE of 13.6%. GNPA at 60 DPD reduced from 7.18% in September 21 to 5.5% in December 21. Overall, ECL stood at 4.4%. On a consolidated basis, our gross loan portfolio grew by 18.4% YOY to INR 14,587 crore, and borrower base to 37.39 lakh, primarily due to write-off of 3.91 lakh borrowers during the last 12 months. NIA grew by 35.5% YOY to INR 412 crores. PPOP grew by 60.6% YOY to INR 273.5 crores. Credit cost was INR 117.9 crores, which also included the impact of write-off of INR 190 crore. The credit cost was partially offset by 28.2 crore bad debt recovery during third quarter. So PAT was INR 117 crore, resulting ROI of 3% and ROI of 11.9% on a consolidated basis. Briefly touching on our financial performance during a 9-month FY22 on a consolidated basis, our NIA grew by 11.4% to 1,133.6 crore. PPOP grew by 13.8% to INR 708.7 crore. Credit was declined 14.4% to INR 445.7 crore. Bad debt recovery was robust at 47.6 crore in 9 months. While the gross credit cost during 9 months was 3.6%, the net credit cost after considering the bad debt recovery, it is 3.2%. PAT grew by 162% to 187 crores, resulting in ROE of 1.7%. Liquidity continued to remain comfortable with total cash and cash equivalent of rupees 1,625 crore, amounting to 10.3% of total assets. Capital adequacy remains strong at 24.8% at consolidated level. With field integration is complete and portfolio is transitioning into CA Grameen model, along with growth momentum is picking up with speed in MMFL, we believe that positive bottom line contribution will follow going forward in MMFL also. We continue to remain our focus on foraying into newer rural markets as part of our geographical diversification strategy and tap the unserved and underserved markets. A total of 194 branches have been opened during this financial year, primarily across the newer markets. Our overall branch network stood at 1,617 as on 31st January 2022. With an improved visibility on business environment on back of reducing severity of pandemic and increased vaccination, we have provided performance guidance for FY22 in last quarter. As on 9-month FY22, we are happy to inform that our performance has been fairly in line with the guidance. While the country did face temporary challenges on account of Omicron variant during January, our business remained unaffected without any disruptions. In fact, key indicators like portfolio growth, customer base, collections, and asset quality further improved in January compared to December. Happy to note that we also achieved a major milestone with our consolidated loan portfolio crossing USD 2 billion mark in January. Assuming that there are no further severe business disruptions on account of COVID, we are confident of achieving our guidance for FY 2022. Our learning from previous waves and the pragmatic approach adopted give us enough confidence to weather the odds. The government has made its stance clear during the budget 22-23 with capital expenditure push and inclusive development agenda being the drivers of creating long-term job opportunities for millions of low-income households. Given our strategic position of deep rural presence, we are called to partner in the growth journey and contribute towards the next level of capital creation story of Bharat. With this brief note, I would like to open the floor to you for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shreepal Doshi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. Firstly, if you look at in January, the non-paying customer has increased versus the December number for both Madura and Credit. So what would be the reason for the same?
There is a small momentum which is already there in the NPA category, which is already more than 90 days or 180 days kind of thing. There is slight fast forward of there. Right forward. So it is not, it's already NPA and provided customers. So some of them have not paid during January. That's right. So no, there's no paying customer in the standard category moved the other side.
Okay, it's broadly the partially paying moving to non-paying.
Yeah. Some of them, what happened, some of them they would have paid in December, they would have, may not have paid in January. They may paid in February. Particularly, these are already, most of them are more than 90 days or 100 days bucket customers, people.
Got it, sir. And sir, if you look at, you have given a split of ticket sizing, vintage-wise ticket size. So if you could also give a split of customer split as per the vintage. In the similar category, wherein below 3 years, 3 to 6 years, 6 to 9 years, and more than 9 years.
Yeah, we have given that.
Right. So, if you can give the customer split also, like we've given ticket size, if you can give customer split also.
Kashyap, actually you have a portfolio split available on the top of the slide, which largely reflect the customer borrower split also actually. Maybe we can provide that, Nilesh can provide that, because there's a portfolio split is there in the top bar.
Right.
Same slide. Correct.
Got it.
So number of customers slightly varies because the high vintage customers are higher portfolio, so there will be slight variation. Maybe we can provide next time. Or you can reach out to Nilesh and get it. Thank you.
Sure, sir. And so as highlighted in the same slide that, 48% of the customers are new, which are from non-core states for us. So these would be Bihar, UP, Gujarat, Rajasthan.
The three core states, and largely from Bihar, Jharkhand, UP, Gujarat, Rajasthan, and Orissa.
And what is the ticket size that we are beginning for these customers in this geography?
So if you see the same slide, there it is mentioned, the outstanding in the other states are only, average is only 32,000 in the same slide. Right side corner.
Right. So, but what will be the beginning, like the first cycle? That
beginning is for this beginning is 30 to 35 thousand Sripal.
Got it, sir. Got it. And sir, okay, sir. I'll come in the queue if I have more questions. So thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Gupta from Credit Access. Please go ahead.
Yes. So I just wanted to know what does the company expect the credit cost to be next year in FY23?
Sorry, who is online?
Siddharth Gupta.
Okay, so we have guided in the Q2 itself on the credit cost overall between 4.2 to 4.7. So we should be within that.
No, I'm talking about the next year, next financial year. What is your guidance for credit cost for next financial year?
Next financial year, we are not able to guide right now. Probably we will look at after Q1, we will be able to guide. So we believe that it will be majority of the COVID impacted cost will be taken now. So therefore, it should be business as usual, but there will be little higher cost considering the behavioral change of the customers at this point of time. But we presume that it will be at least 70-80% more than the normal. But anyway, we will provide it after Q1.
Okay. And do you expect any write-offs due to Omicron wave, third Omicron wave?
No.
Okay.
Not for third. There is no impact for the third Omicron wave.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants: if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Digant Haria from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My first question is on these harmonization guidelines. If they come, do we have chance to correct our lending rates? Because I believe we, you know, at a lot of places, we are lending at rates which are even lower than the banks.
Definitely. If there is opportunity for us, we should be pricing for the credit cost. So as of now, we are the lowest priced as against banks or NBFCs or MFIs. Everybody, you in the entire market, we are the lowest priced MFI today. However, because currently we are constrained with the 10% margin cap of RBI, we are not able to price for the cost of credit, which is much higher in some markets. So definitely, you know, if the opportunity is given by the regulation, we should be definitely charging the credit cost to some extent. So which will have an opportunity for us to price, at least price the cost, if possible.
Sir, and that opportunity would be between 50 to 100 bps or a little more, or just a ballpark number. I don't need exact number.
It should be between 100 to 150 bps actually on a major geographies, some of the geographies.
Right. Okay. Sir, got it. Thanks. That's the first question. Sir, second question is, sir, mainly on the field operations that. You know, see, COVID, because of this being a physical touch, highly physical touch model, and you know, the attendance had suffered in first few months of COVID. So now, do you think that those disruptions are really behind, and or you know, that customer behavior has changed in such a way that you know, the group model eventually will be, you know, a lot of people will be forced to migrate to individual models? And you know, basic question is, in FY23, can we look at normalcy, like, you know, no COVID disruptions and physical touch comes back?
Actually, no, it's already back normally. Only those groups where 1 or 2 or 3 defaulted customers, such centers, some disciplines use are there. The customer who are paying more than 75-80% of the groups who are paying fully, and normal, the behavioral or disciplinary or by and large normal. So we don't see any challenges there.
OK. Okay, sir.
And then
it's
only improving going forward.
Okay, sir. Sir, and my last question is on the growth that, you know, because so many customers are, you know, either under restructured or, you know, PAR or NPA for other MFIs and other bank MFIs also. Like, does it put strain on our growth pool that, you know, maybe say next year, even if it is a normal year, we would have grown 25%. But is that availability of customer because they may have, you know, the Experian data would show that they are overdue somewhere or restructured somewhere. So just any thoughts on that? That's it from my side.
Yeah, I think, you know, we as an institution keep expanding in the deep rural and beyond the urban and also. And our fair target is always on the new to credit customer to bring into the microfinance and support them for their own growth. If you see last year, I mean, at least stable years, our new to credit customers was almost 40 to 45% when we acquire the new customers, which are new. So even now also we believe we'll be able to target the new to credit customer more, and not necessarily we should go and lend to the customers who defaulted or so. So there is an opportunity. If you see today, only 35-40% of the addressable market has been achieved by the industry. So there is huge 60% of a non-addressed market available in the geographies where you operate, and particularly in rural. So therefore, we don't see a challenge for growth, considering that there is some the delinquent customer at this point of time. That also is only 20%. If you count 6 close customer currently, so even 20% customer are delinquent in between or so. So still 80% are not. And plus the new to credit. I think we don't see any challenge about the growth. Highway is still available.
Okay, great, sir. All the best for the coming quarter, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I would like to remind all participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then 1 on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Nidhesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So firstly, on the income from recovery that we have reported this quarter is quite strong at 29 crores. How should we think about it, this income going forward? What is the write-off pool on which we are trying to recover?
Nidhesh, what happened is, you know, the denominator also increasing rate because last 1 year, 12 months, we have written off also both companies together almost close to 8,000 crores, right? I mean, 9,000 crores. So it is basically 2.5% of the return of portfolio. So I think at least for next 2-3 quarters, we should see 15-20 crores of recovery because there is a natural trend. When we write off at 270 days, we wrote off even some of the partly paying customer also, correct? Because of the policy of rating up at 270 days. So obviously there will be recovery from those customers also, some of the customers who want to come back or who want to, let's say, borrow from some others. Obviously they have to come and pay for us before doing that. And we have put a large team to address this, to go and meet all the delinquent customers. Also, recollect that we also did some aggressive or early rate off also at 180 days sometime. So that is why there is an opportunity to go back and collect some money. So our sense, at least for next 2-3 quarters, we should be able to recover at least 15-20 crores every quarter.
Sure. And secondly, from a number of customers perspective, the number of customers have remained flat or declined over the last two quarters because of write-offs that we have been doing. But from next 2 to 3 year perspective, how should we think about the customer base growth for the company?
It's growing already. As I said in the initial remark, in the Q2 to Q3, we have grown already, actually. So we are acquiring almost close to 90,000 customers every month now. So maybe, yeah, there's one more write-off, you know, a large number, probably Q4, would impact a bit, but afterwards it should be only the positive every Q1, Q2
indication. Sure. So this 90,000 customer addition will be sustainable on a monthly basis. So
Should be, because we have created good infrastructure, right? Almost 200 odd branches we have added already. Existing branches are operating. And then again, normally Q1, Q2, we open fresh branches every year. Given that if there is no disturbance, we should be going ahead and then keep opening 10-15% of infrastructure every year, which will also give additional support for customer growth.
Sure. That's it from my side, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Nidesh.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Anand Pavnani from Vito Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, just wish to understand, over last 7-8 quarters, as you are expanding into newer geographies and even in existing geographies, how is the competition intensity as compared to pre-pandemic? Have you seen any changes in the competitive intensity post the pandemic?
Yeah, the last 8 quarter is not a quarter can be compared, Anand, because of the disturbances. By and large, if you see the 8 quarters, at least 4 quarters, nobody operated. It's a blank 6 months in the FY 2021, 6 months in 21-22. So there was no expansion by anybody. So it's a more of fighting with the pandemic issues. So that's why it's not a comparable. But still, real growth for industry come only the second half in both last two financial years. But having said that, important to note that we are a deeply rural penetrated industry institution, so which is having very less competition compared to the urban penetrated institutions. Just to give an example to you, we have large number of MFAs and the banks operating across geography. To put it in perspective, almost 43% of customers, we are the only lenders. And again, another 39% of customers, we have only one lender other than us. So that itself shows that the competitive intensity in the field is not impacting us. And to give other side of the reflection, who is the largest overlap with us in terms of common customers? So we have Bharat Finance, which is the largest, because one of the largest, almost double of our size, which has only 8% of overlap with us. And the next is maybe 5%, maybe Spandana is overlap 5-6%. Thereafter, maybe Bandhan about 3% is overlap. So by default, by design of our operation, we are not susceptible for large competition because of our deep rural presence and our tendency of acquiring new to credit customers. Probably, I answer your question.
Sure, sir. Sure, that's very helpful. Sir, second part is, if you have to look at the industry over last 7-8 years, a lot of firms were funded by private equity. Now, because of the sequence of events that have happened since 2016, if you were to see the rate of return for a lot of the private equity players in microfinance in India are subpar, and some of them are not even able to get exits. So with respect to fresh capital, are you seeing that private equity is reluctant when you see as an industry participant, are you seeing, because I want to understand competitive intensity. So is incremental funding from private equity lower and do you see it staying low for next few years?
Anand, I think if you see, despite pandemic last 2 years, there is a sufficient equity has flown to microfinance, and microfinance is not suffering from any equity shortage today, despite 2 years of all these problems. That itself validates that there is enough interest of capital flowing into industry. And the funding also, the banks also, that's the government support, RBI is coming with the plans. So I don't think any issue about equity or about funding for the industry. And the industry has grown in the continuously, whether it is 2 years or 4 years or 6 years, if you see, industry has grown leap and bound. So I don't see any challenge about equity raising today for anybody. So when they are able to raise equity, even in the pandemic years, I think it reflects the strength of the industry.
Sure, sir. My question was more for our peers, because I understand we are able to raise equity. We have...
No, I'm not talking ours. I'm talking the industry. I'm not talking... Hey, sorry, Anand, I am also telling the industry, not Grameen. Grameen ka baat nahi kar raha hu. Okay, I'm talking industry. There is not one institution suffered because there is no equity today, even after 2 years of pandemic. Correct? So that's what I'm telling.
Got it, sir. And sir, last question, if I may. Do we have any sense when can these new regulations, which is now I think almost 8-9 months since they were kind of contemplated this, do we have any sense when can we expect some final decision on this?
Both of us have the same information stage, Anand. So we also don't know. We expected this in the last quarter itself, but somehow not yet. Let's see. It may be they may. RBI will have more other priorities probably. So, but it should be coming this quarter. That is what we are hoping.
Okay. And Madura is on track to be merged by end of the current quarter, that is Q4 FY22, right?
Not necessarily. And legal merger might take more time because of the regulatory issues which NCLT, hearings are taking time because of COVID and all. They don't have sufficient bandwidth to manage the pending cases. So it may take time, but from our own perspective, we are already integrated. From an operational perspective, from a product perspective, growth perspective, integrated. Only we may still have to carry two boards for some more time.
Noted. Thank you, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Karthik Sahani from Myler Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. I just want to ask, what is your guidance on the loan book growth, say, in the next 2 years?
Karthik, despite pandemic years, last year we grew 13-14%. This year we guided to grow almost 17-19%. So we believe that this can be little more than this on a stable year going forward. At least 20-25% CAGR for next 3 years is potential for the industry.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Nanavati from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Just a couple of questions on write-offs. Firstly, if I look at the PAR splits, right, now we've nearly kind of normalized. And when you look at the part-paying customers, this is more or less non-paying customers, this is more or less crystallized. So to that extent, should one expect the non-paying customer largely to be written off over the course of next 2 quarters? Or if you can just explain some behavior around that, what you expect to recover hopefully over some time.
So we expect a majority of this should be written off in the fourth quarter itself, or maybe some may spill over to Q1 also. But yeah, your estimation is correct. To a large extent, is the non-paying NPA will move. But as a policy, Karthik, we write off all the customers who, if the NPA or a delinquency bucket crosses to 70 days, we write off. Actually, that's a policy. So out of our current PAR 90, so largely might be getting written off in the Q4 and Q1. You're absolutely right.
Okay, so the credit cost guidance is largely now, if I look at it on an incremental basis, it will be largely towards the write-off requirement which would
absolutely
into excess provision.
Absolutely. You're right.
Secondly, if you can only explain in terms of write-offs, right, that we've done in the past 12 months, what would be the similar vintage split of borrowers that you would have written off? Basically, how in terms of ticket size, in terms of vintage, how was this broad split around less than 3 years, 3 to 6 years, more than 9 years?
No, we have not done that, Karthik. Probably we will publish that too. You can reach out to Nilesh and he will be able to collate the data and share with you. But yeah, we have not split the vintage of rate of numbers at this point of time. Probably we can do that. Nilesh, do you have any specific data available on this? Sorry, 1 minute. Let's check with
Nilesh. I'll provide it to him. I'll provide it to him.
Yeah.
Currently, I do not.
Yeah. Yeah.
But broadly, sir, if you can just on the top of your head, if you would have seen any stark difference between, whether the write-offs are low vintage customer or
high-vintage
customer.
Amit, it's actually, our write-offs are linked to pandemic today, not the vintage. You cannot correlate the vintage versus write-off because this is a specific event which impacted the customers who are not in the essential activities or suffered specifically because of the low footfall kind of business, which is we already discussed earlier, what kind of business were impacted in the last two COVID situation. Irrespective of whether it's a new vintage customer or old vintage customer, it is more of an industry and a specific customers who are impacted, actually. The customer could be 5 years also, customer could be 1 year also, but if she is in a health, she's running a beauty parlor salon or the family in a hairdressing salons, or they're in travel or tourism or a pilgrimage centric, so it impacted. So that is why, it may not be a right, data to see whether based on vintage or non-vintage. It's more of a essential and non-essential were the key in terms of, the impact and the resultant rate of at this point of last 4 to 5 quarters rate of. But anyway, I think Nilesh can provide the data, but we can't derive any decision based on that because of this other external reasons.
Got it, sir. That's it from me. Thank you.
Mr. Nanavati, are you done with your question?
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Bhavnani from White Oak Capital. Please go ahead.
Just a couple of questions. One is on Madura, you mentioned we are now integrated. But in the COVID, we saw there was stark difference in the credit quality, and maybe it was due to, the legacy book. But since the legacy book have completely run off in last couple of years, from here on, we should expect broadly the performance to be similar, barring some geographical, disturbances. But barring that, broadly, the loan book performance should be in sync with CREDAG, right?
Anand, only 45% of the book is new book under the Grameen model. 50% is still the old, is yet to run off, and it's going on. It's actually, we are not dispersing anything under the old model. Everything under the new model, which is exactly behaving the way Grameen is behaving. So, but if you see, Madura write-offs are with the lag compared to Grameen. We have taken write-off early, whereas Madura, its write-off comes later because there's always, it's a different kind of model. So recovery slowly happens there. That is why write-offs have started now only there. So it will take maybe 2-3 quarters to break down those delinquencies which we are not able to recover. Maybe next 2 quarters we will see some write-off, but still we believe that the current growth momentum, which will help us to generate enough revenue to take such costs, and we should be still positive in the Madura book also from here onwards.
Okay. Just I'm wondering, we took over the company, Q3 or Q4 of FY20, so it's close to 24 months now, and generally the loans are for that tenure, so shouldn't, I mean, I'm surprised by the 55% figure being the legacy book, because it would have run off, right? The books run off very sharply in microfinance. So how come we have 55% still?
Anand, we are in the middle of, Anand, we are in the middle of COVID. We are not on the, in the normal stable period. We were not able to go and implement the technology and all those things. It needs, always needs a year to integrate. And the 1 year we have done the integration, and the new business, new book under the model change is not easy for the old book. Old book has to run off. So new book under the model, we started in October. We would have started in March, but again COVID wave 2 impacted us. We had to postpone that, and we started in October, September, October. So there afterwards, the new book built, that is 45% now. So old book is to run off. It will, because it's a process it takes. You know, we can't just convert the book into a model. It impacts the customers there. So we have taken a very pragmatic approach in doing it, and we believe what we did is right.
Sure. Any ballpark, you know, expectation you have for, you know, write-off in Madura for next 2-3 quarters, as you said. Any sense you can give us on that?
No, you have the data in front of you about the NPA. And whatever we have provided about it, right? Write-off will not impact the book directly, right? It's only the non-provided component in the impact. And so we have recognized the NPAs and provided against it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And sir, in terms of the expansion plan, we added quite a bit of branches in last 2 years. How do you see branch addition going forward for, let's say, next couple of years?
So we keep taking stock at a point of time. Normally, we add the branches. If you see the history of us, we add about 10 to 15% infrastructure every year, which includes number of branches, employees, everything. So probably we will be going in a similar direction.
Noted. Thank you, sir, and good luck. I'll come back in the queue for any questions.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhishek Murarka from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good morning and congratulations for the quarter.
So the question is on
Madura. So this new book and old book split that you've given, this is from what date? So are you counting from the date of your first investment, or are you counting from a date of official integration?
No. I'm counting the, when I said new book, I said book which is built in the Grameen model, not the new book in within Madura. So we have shifted the model, transition to our own technology and all, no? That book, which is the weekly, fortnightly, and the way what we do. So that we have actually already done. So that book is 45%. Okay.
Right.
So Madura itself kept on dispersing money. That new book perspective is slightly different, because but still it is a old model.
Right. Yeah, so that's what
is happening. You are absolutely right. The new technology, new process, new product, weekly, fortnightly model started in October, which is a book I'm telling, which is exactly a Grameen model.
Right. So basically October, November, December, January. Those 4 months is 45%.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah,
every month means almost 10% getting changed, shifted, Abhishek. Every month almost 10% getting shifted.
Perfect. That's what I thought, sir. And the other thing is, going forward, what is the BAU credit cost that we are estimating? And you know, if I look at pre-demonetization, you know, a long period average was 1.5%. Post-demonetization, now it's coming to 2-2.5%. So where are we looking at a average business as usual credit cost?
See, pre-demonetization, it was 60 to 80 bps, not even 1.5% actually. Post-demonetization, it went to about 120-130 bps actually. Okay. So we believe it will again further getting added by another 50-60 bps going forward because of this important behavioral change impact, because of 2 years of COVID. There were moratoriums. There are rich tech chairs. So many things are there for the industry, actually, so for the customer also. So based on this, there will be some behavioral change which will impact the overall discipline and the repayment behavior. That's why we believe it will be additional 50, that is 150 to 180 bits. Maybe your business as usual credit card going forward.
Okay. And are you able to still pass on higher yield? Like, one of the impact of harmonization was expected to be that, you know, you could, as an NBFC MFI, migrate to 22-23% yield. So are you able to charge anything higher?
Yeah, we are expecting that, because one of our reason for reaching out to RBI is to consider the credit cost as for the pricing, actually. So right. That is what RBI recommended in their draft guidelines. So we believe it will be implemented as soon as possible, sooner. So it will give us leverage to price the cost.
Right. And that, so that looks like well.
And still we should be able to give the stable returns to the investors.
Sure. And so finally, on retail finance, now 3-4 years back when we started, you know, we had a lot of plans for it. In the last 2 years, it has clearly been wound down, and it's just about 2%. But, you know, going forward, right, what is the plan for that book?
Correct. So, you know, the acquisition impacted the retail book, actually, you know, indirectly. The investment what we made in Madura was treated as non-finance book, non-microfinance book, because non-qualified asset. Let's say we didn't have headroom to grow in a retail book. And in any case, you know, unsecured book, we didn't want to grow also. Slowly, because we realized that this kind of event will hit the individual microfinance book. Definitely, it's not a good idea. After this two waves, actually, we learned a lesson on this. That's why we started reducing that portfolio. Now it's only 2%. But our plan is to move towards the secured book. So we are already working on various pilots. I think last time also I appreciated this. We are working on business loan backed by assets, particularly properties, affordable housing, home improvement, gold loan, two-wheeler loan. All these are being worked out. We are actually building the team and developing the technology and creating a pilot to learn the new centers. So my sense, we will have a very good traction in FY 2023 on this asset back book. By the time we complete the legal integration, we will get headroom to grow also. So before that, we will be ready for with our pilots, so that we can grow our secured book. So our target is to use the opportunity of non-microfinance portfolio will be secured book going forward. So we are working on that.
And any milestone, let's say 2 years out, where this 2% should go? Maybe, you know, you're targeting at 4%, 5%. I mean, any milestone that you have in mind?
In the next 2 years, by 24, the FY24, we should be crossing 10 to 12% in this.
Okay. 10 to 12%? Sorry?
By 2024, we should be achieving about 10 to 20% of our book as a secured book.
Of the GLP.
Because your currently opportunity is only maximum about 13 to 14%. We can't do more, because 85% has to be qualified, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
at least 10 to 12% then balance will be your normal balance sheet assets.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you for taking my questions. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Abhishek.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. This is a reminder to all participants present in this conference. If you have a question, please press star then one.
If there's no question, maybe I will request our CFO to give a
I'm so sorry to interrupt, but there are a few questions lined up just right now. Can we take that up?
Yeah, please, no problem.
Sure.
I thought to give a quick
question is from the line of Manoj Oberoi from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, hi, this is Rajiv here. Many congratulations on very strong numbers. So just one question from my side. You spoke about the new normal of credit costs being 1.5-2% going ahead. But when I look at your January collection efficiency on the paying customers, including some overdue customers as well as some NPL customers who are paying, it's 99%. So why do you think that your incremental credit cost in a normalized environment will be higher at 1.5-2%?
So we need to see, Rajiv, you know, the going forward, it may not be entirely stable as we have seen before 2016. Okay, there will be, and we are now across geography. There are floods here. There are something else there. These are going to be common. So we have very good stable. 1 month cannot be reflection for our entire future, right? So the behavioral change is one which will impact. 99% is good for a non-paying customer, but still you have other customers there who have defaulted also there, right? Almost 5.4% of customers perfect is still there, right? So 1 month is great, but not necessarily all the month. So on a regular basis, it could be 1.5%, not the 2%. It may be about 1.5% will be our stable business credit cost. Because credit cost is not just the write-off. You're talking credit cost is including the provisions. Your standard provision itself is close to 1%, right? So any additional will become the ECL more than 1.5% to 2%. You remember before COVID, but everything was stable, our ECL was almost 2%.
Yeah.
Even though, because standard itself, we provide almost 1%, right? That's right. So credit cost is including your provisions.
Right. Sir, in this stage 2, we are holding 20-odd% provision right now. And of course, stage 3 is 60-odd. But a lot of it will get written off and then we'll also build provisions in fourth quarter. Stage 2 on a steady state basis, what is the kind of provision we would typically hold? Would we want to hold, say, 30% on a stage 2 book going ahead?
It will be between 30 to 40%. On a stable basis, currently what is happening in the stage 2, Rajiv, large number of them are paying more than 50% of the due. That's why we have provided a little less there currently. It's a three buckets within the stage 2. One is non-paying, one is paying less than 50% of the due, one paying more than 50% of the due. So because of that, coming around 20%. But on a stable basis, it will be 30-40%, but stage 2 will not be that high also because only 15 to 60 days only, right? So it will be quite low going forward.
The overall quantum will come down. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Correct.
Thank you, sir. That answers.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhu Gupta from Quantum AMC. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one question on this IT notice with the company.
Ma'am, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but your audio is not clearly audible. May I please request you to speak from the handset mode?
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
So actually, most of my questions have been answered. Just one question. So the company has received an IT notice of around 23.3 billion for the assessment year FY19. So any updates on that?
Madhu, we have updated this on 27th January to the exchanges. So the High Court of Karnataka heard the case between us and the income tax and they have set aside the order at this point of time.
Okay, so the order has been set aside. So there was an entrance stay on that, so that still continues.
Earlier it was stay. Now the order itself is set aside by the court.
Okay, So that means the company does not have to provide for that contingent liability.
Yeah. Even before also the tax experts or secretaries clearly told that there is no need to provide. Even earlier also, but now that order itself is set aside, there is no need of any provisions.
So in a way, sort of the company has won the case in a way, so that that legal liability will not arise in future. Is that the understanding?
See, it will go back to the income tax department, and they may have to relook at the case, and then they'll come back, and then we'll reply appropriately to them.
Okay.
So at least now, there is no demand at this point of time.
Okay, at this point of time, it's not there, but okay, got it. Thanks.
The future is always future. Correct.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Murarka from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking the follow-up. So this one is on banking cost. And, you know, your marginal cost of borrowings is now quite low. But incrementally, how much of your borrowings matured in this year? And given the TD rates, etc., going up, what is the general borrowing plan for 2023?
Yeah. Short-term borrowing is already available in the slides. Actually, we have put the bucket of short, medium, and long. So I think about 10% is only the short-term borrowing, which is less than 12 months maturity. I agree, and then we have more than 45% is more than 3 years bucket actually. There will be the interest hardening is potentially yes actually. So, but considering that we have a good line of credit from the banks with the lower cost, and the legacy costs are little higher on average basis, it should not increase too much. It may be the variant may be 10 to 15% considering the next 2-3 quarters point of view. So we don't see too much variation on the average cost of borrowing for us.
Okay, so the gap between marginal and weighted average, that 1%, it still take some time to converge.
Yes, it will take. Oh.
Got it. Thanks.
So currently, our weighted average is around 9.1% or so. Yeah. So yeah, maybe it's a question of even if little hardening, at least for next 2-3 quarters, it can be a 15% variation, 15 points basis variation potential, not more than that, because of the legacy borrowing which are being paid out and the new borrowing you are getting at a lower rate. On average, it will be really at that point, that between 9.1 to 9.3 only.
So within your banks, bank borrowings, how much would be linked to any external benchmark? Or not MCLR?
Or T-bill or something? No other. Only the external borrowing, about 10-11% is linked to LIBOR. And that also annual reset.
Okay.
It is hedged. You know, the LIBOR can change and the reset can happen. That also is hedged. Sorry. Yeah, that also is hedged actually, even that. And the domestic, maybe about 45 to 50% are floating with the floating to MCLR.
Okay. Yeah. So, but non-MCLR external benchmark linkage domestically is very low.
No. Insignificant.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for their closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you very much for joining this call, and we appreciate all the questions. We hope we are able to give you clarity. In case anybody have further questions, further data requirement, please reach out to our investors desk, so they will help you. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.